right, it's time to get your trunks, your one pieces, your rash guards, your boardies out, as it's ham fest season. Well, okay, maybe swimsuit season? I don't know, whatever. Well, next on Live Free and Ham. All right. Hello, and welcome to Live Free and Ham Podcast. This is our weekly show where we discuss ham radio topics in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. And we're thrilled to have you here, whether you're a regular listener or tuning in for the first time, and we always enjoy you guys joining us for this episode. So, let's get into the show. I'm your host, Eric, call sign N1JUR, and I'm with one of my co-hosts and a special guest tonight, but we'll pass it over to our co-host first.
I'm Todd, W1STJ, and we've got...
Good evening. This is Mike N3MFL, Twitter Silverland.
There we go. Nice. He is stepping in so graciously for Paul, who is feverishly prepping for his journey across the United States. I would say if you are listening to this podcast about a week later, you know, look him up on APRS. We're going to be tracking him on Discord and on the website and stuff like that via him. He said he's going to have APRS on, so we'll be able to see Paul's little car move across the United States. You know, hopefully he'll have the little trailer icon. Otherwise, Tim KC1QDK will be a little annoyed that he won't see the correct icon resembling what he should be while traveling. But with that, we wish him well and safe journey, man. And hey, he's going to be hanging out with Mike on Monday, so I'm looking forward to seeing that and you know, hopefully making contact with those guys, because I struggle to hit Mike from New York. I don't know what it is. It's just not, the skip does not work in my favor every time he's activating. So either way. Okay. Well, like we always do, we get into our topic. We got a few things to catch you guys up on. As always, head over to our storefront at livefreeandham.com/shop. Check out all the merch. Maybe pick up a bacon pack of our hammies, because I gave out a bunch of those at New Year Fest last week. And so, you know, a few people, you know, definitely love to see those things. And, you know, hey, if you want to connect with our community, you know, you can do it a number of different ways. You can always hit us up on our SMS link in our description. You can send us an email, or if you're so inclined, you can use our voicemail number, which is 978-233-1142. And I won't put Todd over the barrel with this one, because I am not on the ball with the scrolling at the bottom of the screen here. Don't worry about it. So, all right. Well, with that, we also have a live stream. So if you missed our live stream at Near Fest, which was technically for the April timeframe, we'll be having one in May. So keep your eyes out. And the easiest way to do that is make sure you subscribe to Live Free and Ham. As I know, we got a couple of new subscribers that just joined over the past couple of days. So make sure you ring that bell so you get notified. Nice. All right. And as always, if you'd like to support the show, we always appreciate everybody who does. You can become a Patreon member and you get a ton of free stuff if you're a Patreon member. You can head over to patreon.com, Live Free and Ham. And some of those Patreon members get early access to show releases, uncut, unedited, unfettered conversation like we just are doing tonight. And, you know, as Bob Koff always says, and I am not on the ball, what the heck here? Bob Koff always says, sadly, I can't find it. Where the hell is it? I'm so off. All right. Well, anyway, just for $3 a month, you could join for Live Free and Ham. I'm sorry, Bob. I screwed that one up. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, with that, we have nothing in the mailbag, and we definitely don't have Paul here tonight with Winlink. So we are going to just blow by those and doing good. We haven't seen anything come by. So, you know, make sure you send us something. If you've got a do good story, we want to hear about it. And so with that, we're going to dive right into.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
And now, a little something extra with Todd, W1STJ.
Still the general.
Like that little blurb there? I did. I have got a lot more of those.
You suck.
I have gone back in the archives there and pulled out the little segments when Todd just puts a little dig out there and says, oh, I'm a general, poor me. So, here we go. Well, I am the VE tonight, so I am going to forgo the formalities of getting us into a little something extra. Because, you know, if you've been on the show for a little while, you know what we do here. We test Todd on the extra class question pool. Hopefully you guys got a chance to catch the video that we did at Near Fest, testing people on the street. That was a blast and very interesting to see. We are definitely going to have to ramp that up next time in the fall and, you know, really turn up the heat on that one, see what we can do. So, yes, good stuff going on there. So, without further ado, I'm going to kick this off. So, are you ready? I've got my button on the tension, 30-second tension song there. So, if you are ready, I will happily read the question to you. W1SCJ, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. All right. We are dipping into the random pool questions here. So, this question is what is the far field of an antenna? Is it A, the region where the shape of the radiation pattern no longer varies with distance, B, the region where radiated power dissipates over a specified time period, C, the region where radiated field strengths are constant, or D, the region of the ionosphere where radiated power is not refracted?
Are you sure this is an extra question?
It is.
I don't remember ever seeing this one. I know it hasn't been on any of the exams that I've done, but let me see. Well, all right.
The top of my window says amateur extra.
Yeah, all right. let's see. The region.
Feel free to jump in there, Mike.
Okay, the region where radio.
Oh, I already know the answer.
I'm the region where radio. All right. The region where, okay, I need a second.
you have plenty of time, 30. My friend.
Yeah.
I can run the music again.
No.
Come on.
I'm gonna say B.
B. All right, Mike, what's your answer?
I'm going to say it's either B or A. It's definitely not B.
That's the other one.
You're going to go with B? Yeah. What? You can only pick one, Mike. So we're going B?
All right. We'll go B. Yeah.
All right. And you are both wrong. It is the correct answer is A. The region where the shape of the radiation pattern no longer varies with distance. And so let's go back and read the question here, or the answer to the question, or description. I don't even know what they call this. Paul does this so much better than I do. All right. As the RF energy leaves the antenna, it generally expands into the full beam. However, this expansion only continues for a specific distance. At a certain distance from the antenna, the beam pattern no longer changes, but remains relatively constant. And this distance is referred to as the far field distance. The far field radiation pattern is typically what we are most concerned with in radio communication, as practically every receiving antenna is going to be in the far field under real conditions. All right, and they give you a hint, and the antenna pattern usually have a proverbial shape, only answer with shape. And then the silly hint is FFS means far field shape. All right, well, we got 0-3 today, so let's go to the next one.
0-1.
Well, we have 3 total questions, my friend. All right. So fine. If you're 0-1, we're only doing one at a time here. All right. So question number 2, what is the approximate bandwidth of a 13 words per minute international Morse code transmission? Is it A, 52 Hertz, B, 26 Hertz, C, 13 Hertz, or D, 104 Hertz? I don't need to know Morse code.
I think it's A.
And Mike, your final answer?
B.
All right. Okay, so Todd, you say A, and you are correct. All right. Okay, so the answer to this one is CW words per minute is WPM CW equals 13. What's the necessary bandwidth for this transmission? For a CW transmission, remember, bandwidth equals 4 hertz, blah, blah, blah. So in this case, BWCW equals 4 hertz times 13 words per minute. BWCW, my gosh, is anybody going to remember this? Test tip to remind yourself that you must multiply by 4 to calculate bandwidth in hertz from words per minute to CW. Just think 4-letter word hertz. It also may help to remember that in a deck of cards, there are 13 cards in each suit and 4 suits for a total of 52 cards. Really? You got that one, Paul? Todd? Yeah. Keep doing that, man. Sorry. You got it right. But I don't think it was because of the hint. Another way to remember is the Morse code is just 2 symbols, a dot and a dash. And a good rule of thumb from the general exam is to stay at least an extra bandwidth away from the edge of the band. 2 doubled is 4. All right. Here we go. We are 1-1. Last question here. All right. Here we go. How can an unwanted ringing and audio instability be prevented in an op amp audio filter? Is it A, restrict gain but increase Q? Is it B, increase both gain and Q? Is it C, restrict both gain and Q? Or D, restrict Q and increase gain?
I'm going to go with C.
Your answer, Mike?
A.
Okay. All right. Todd says C. Mike says A. And Todd is correct. Woohoo! Yeah. Mike is still. What are you? Are you a general class or are you an extra, Mike?
I'm a general, but I have a parole too. So.
You have a what?
Parole.
Oh.
General radio operator's license.
Operator's license. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. To prevent unwanted ringing and audio instability in a multi-section op-amp RC audio filter circuit, restrict both gain and Q. In order to keep an op-amp from going into oscillation, both the gain and the Q are restricted and set by the feedback circuit. So here's the hint. To prevent you restrict. And the jingle is to keep audio true, restrict gain and the Q. That doesn't quite work for me. Awesome. But.
That was awesome. Eric said at the live stream he doesn't sing, but sing. I know he does.
I was just going to say, that is the only time you're going to hear me sing, Mike.
No.
All right. Well, so Todd, you know what that brings.
I know.
And I actually have the button for that.
Of course you have a free.
Yes, it is. All right. Well, we are going to shut this system down.
I have to get all three right, because if I get two out of three, you know, then I don't feel like such a loser. If I get one out of three or no out of three, I feel like a loser, you know. So it's like I get that song no matter what.
No, well, I get that song on purpose just because I'm always the extra, just because whether you get none right or all of them right. I just do it on purpose. I love it. Bring on the meatloaf. All right. Cool. Well, there we go with a little something extra. All right. So we always roll into this next episode section here. So in our usual format, let's throw it over to Mike first. So, you know, we usually ask everybody, hey, how's your ham radio week? You know, whether it's ham radio adjacent, no ham radio, or ham radio, all the above. How's your ham radio week, man?
Long and eventful.
Mm-hmm. Should I pull up a blanket?
Yeah, exactly. And a beer and a drink. And
I already got that. So
this weekend, the last 3 weeks, just been prepping for NearFest and work, obviously. Hung out with Todd and Eric and Paul and what was the other gentleman's name? I can't remember.
Matt Lyons.
Yes,
and Ryan. Matt
Lyons. Yep. I owe him a sticker, by the way. I've got to get his information. Yep. But it was good. Hamfest was good. We had a blast Friday night. Did really good selling. Did really good buying. First time for the new to me camper setting up. It was fun, you know. Mm-hmm. It was a good weekend, good week, and now it's back to the grind tomorrow morning.
Yeah, thanks for reminding us.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, question with that. So, like, how many years have you been going to NearFest?
I've been going to NearFest since we moved up to Massachusetts. So what? That's Deerfield, at least 3 years, and that's been both times per year.
Okay, so you're pretty familiar with the NearFest format and how the control chaos is with it. It's kind of, you know, it, if you're very unaccustomed to it, you kind of look around and go, how do they keep everything in order?
It's herding cats. But I miss Deerfield, I will say. That was
really beautiful.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Everybody's like, oh, I don't miss. I miss Deerfield because there was room to move around. Mm-hmm. You weren't on top of everybody and you could get out and walk and see everything. You know, not everybody wasn't just crammed and on top of each other. I don't like New Boston. I really don't. I like Deerfield. I like to be down in the field, and then we have people set up all around the big field down there at the base, down by the main gate. I was always set up by the main gate. Nice, because everybody had to walk past me to get up the hill to go see everybody else. So, you know, it's the bathrooms were right there. I didn't have to walk 15 miles to go find a bathroom. You know, they had porta potties and trash.
The one thing I hated about Deerfield the most was every time you went there, you had to walk the hill. Like that was a guarantee.
Oh,
like
yeah,
you always had to walk the hill. You know, yep. And this format for me is like, I like every seller being in that general area because at least it feels like it's busy. Like where you go to Deerfield at, or you go to Nearfest at Deerfield, like you could walk between sellers and they could be like 20 to 30 yards apart from each other and like right. Hidden off in a corner. And it's like, oh, I missed out on an opportunity for a radio that was over there that I could have just walked by with, you know, what you had, like where we have it in New Boston now. So I don't know. I like the closer comfort. I really wish we had a lot more, you know, we'll say space for barns and, you know, commercial vendors to show up. Right. But I don't think that's kind of what Nearfest has ever been since I was a kid when I was doing it in high school. So.
And there was more commercial dealers at Deerfield too, because we had obviously the more buildings.
Yeah.
But you know, the commercial guys, like Matt, commercial guy. I mean, he had a beautiful setup, nice tables. He was right by the door. Yes, it makes perusing easier as you walk around. But, you know, I do the power walk. I just sit there and I literally walk down and look, and I'm scanning both rows as I walk. Like, oh, that looks interesting. Head over there. Mm-hmm. I do like that aspect of it, but I just don't like everybody being on top of each other. And it was mad chaos trying to get people parked in a spot. I almost had to move. So, you know, it's just like, what do you want?
Yeah, they could definitely do a lot better in terms of organization, but we'll get into that a little bit later because I'm curious to see your view on it because I've got a different take on it. But I've been on both sides of the Deerfield, and then before they weren't in Deerfield, they were up in off of 89. Where the heck was that? I can't remember that location. That was a long time ago. But anyway, we'll talk more about that. So over to you, Todd. How was your Hammer Week, bud?
Well, I did eventually get to Nearfest. It was there Friday, but I had to work. Had a busy week last week with work, so I got there around 4 o'clock, and to my surprise, there was no gate personnel. I stopped. I looked around, you know,
waited,
figured someone might come out of the woods or something. No one came, so I'd been there last year, so I just went in the park and I walked around real quick looking for Eric and Paul. Couldn't find them, so I gave Eric a call and he was in the barn. So I went over there and got the keys because I had some cold. Needed to put some stuff in Paul's fridge. So I went up to his camper up at the top of the hill and I walked down and everyone was packing up when I got there and more people were even gone when I put the stuff in the fridge.
Yeah.
And Eric and I are like, well, let's go make some dinner. So we went up and started cooking. And next thing you know, we were in a live stream and I was having a blast and started pouring and thunder. Right. Like it was sunny when we went in there. We come out, it's like a freaking storm going on. So
like a New England meme.
Yeah, so it was fun though. I'm glad it was. You know, I had a good time. I thought it was great, but I couldn't come back Saturday. I had my kid had baseball, and so I just wasn't going to be back there. So I was glad I was able to get there for the live stream and just see everyone and you know meet you, Mike, in person, and it was fun. Yeah. So
cool.
And I didn't buy anything. Like I said, everyone was packing up. I did see the one thing I wanted to buy. The buy was this guy had this like what do you call it? It was a 3D printed kind of wheel, but it was for the thin coax that I use for POTA, and it was you know like the wheels that you would like run a like if it was a larger size
coil wire,
yeah, like or you would do like a wheel for like your long extension cords or something, but it was mini size and it fit. He wanted like $35, and I didn't need the coax. I said, hey, do you just sell the plastic things? Because they were selling them like the other plastic things were like $5 or $10, and he goes, no, I might bring them next time. They might be on Etsy. So I was like, oh, that's too bad. Like the guy should have just taken the coax off and sold me the one that was there for $10 and I would have bought
it. $10 have been done.
Yeah, but so I got to go find out either. He said like next week he'll have it on Etsy because I want to use it for my POTA bag because it just fits flat and it just saves some space and it'd probably keep the wire in better or the coax in better shape.
If you can't find one and you're going to, you know, have to force yourself to buy it at $35, just go to Messi and Poloni. They sell a whole bag and the reel together.
Oh yeah.
But you're going to pay for their name. and the shipping over from Italy. If you can't get it in engineering.
I'm gonna look on and I'm gonna get Ryan to 3D print me one. I just gotta find I'm sure I can find it on Etsy or something similar. But yeah, so that was the only thing I was gonna buy that I liked. You know, it's the same stuff. I mean, in that barn, it's like the same vendors pretty much every year. Mm-hmm. So
cool.
But that was it. So it was good.
Awesome. Well, yeah. So we won't rag you tonight, Todd. Yeah. My hammer of the week was.
I was getting ragged a lot. You know, I was taking a beating in the live stream, but you know, it comes around, goes around.
Well, you know, now that Mike's an official near guy here with us, you know, it's just going to get worse.
Yeah. Anyway. If Kim beats me on this extra, man.
Oh, dude, please.
I'm never going to hear the end of it. And she, you know, she studies all the time. Like, she's like, oh, I studied for four hours today. And then I got the pressure. I have to get my extra before Paul licenses or whatever.
Before I get my VE.
That's easy. That you just got to fill out the form.
I haven't even taken the test. That's why I'm being nice.
It's an open book test.
I know, but dude, that's okay. What's the excuse with the extra? You've been studying for a year.
It's 500 questions and I keep getting.
I know. Yeah. I took it.
It's only
I took
a 50 it. Question test though.
Mm-hmm.
Have you taken the test?
No.
It sucks. There's a lot of questions. They take like one or two from me. It's just, and it's always what gets me is like, I'm like today, right? I'm in the right ballpark and it's like, normally it's one word and I'm like, oh, was it reactance or resistance? It's the same sentence. This is I'm like, argh! And I can't remember. And I'm like, I studied that like 3 months ago, but I remembered it. And yeah.
Yeah. As Todd says,
I think you should give it to me.
Yeah,
that's literally it. Just give it to him. That's all he wants. Yeah. Just give him his extra. He's done. Yeah. So like you guys, I was at Nearfest. So it was a blast. I literally stupidly woke up earlier than I should have. I don't know why, but I got to our early breakfast club breakfast. It was supposed to be at 6:30. I showed up at 6 for some reason. So I had like a half an hour to kill. And I was just like, what the kick is wrong with me? So like I was on 4 cups of coffee by the time I got to Nearfest, which is way over my usual limit. And then, you know, I was, you know, had a couple other, you know, sodas and stuff like that. So by the time like we got to, you know, hanging out with the guys during our live stream, I was just like buzzing totally hard on sugar everywhere. That I was like, holy crap. Yeah, it does. I'm sure it does. You know, and then you fuel that with a little bit of alcohol and a, you know, smart ass mouth and, you know, you never know where that's going to go. All in all, I was sort of like you guys. I was not disappointed, but maybe underwhelmed by like all of the crap that was out there. Like there wasn't like a whole lot of great stuff. And I and Paul walked the whole entire thing in literally like 20 minutes. And it wasn't like, you know, we were like, oh, wow, here's a stop. Let's take a look. It was like, oh, here's a bunch of like, you know, overpriced, you know, like I saw your 890, there was a 817 set up with the ATAS and all that. I saw all of that. And I'm just like, that's outrageous. I mean, come on, you know, nobody's going to pay that much. And, you know, lo and behold, you proved that. So, you know, outside of that, you know, there's some interesting things. I didn't see a lot of the typical people from our club that we were usually there, although they did show up a lot later. So those are the guys that like, you know, they love to collect radios. They're the tube guys, you know, all of the old, you know, boat anchors and that type of stuff. So, you know, it's kind of all their thing, but that's just not my flavor, man. I'm not like, I just don't want to have the old equipment, you know, sitting in my house or in my shack, you know, sitting in the corner. I just don't have that, you know, connection to it.
See, Eric and I are just waiting for like another decade. And then we're going to be one of those guys selling all our shit that we have now and be like, yeah, take this stuff off my hands. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm doing that way beforehand, man. I am doing a Marie Kwan. I'm going through my boxes. And if like I can't use it and I haven't used it in a year, I'm finding another ham. Yeah. Or you can buy it or whatever. Like in essence, you know, I was even thinking like when I was driving on the way home after our live stream from Nearfest, I'm like, I got a DX10 sitting in a box. When's the next time I'm going to use that? Because everybody else in our club has a DX10 and, you know, it's just sitting there. So I'm like, maybe I should just, you know, sell it. And then I saw it was for 800, but then I was like, I should get it for at least a grand.
Was I one of the first guys in the club to get the DX10?
Yeah.
I think I was.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. You bought one. And then I was like, I got to have one. And then you bought a Flex.
Yeah, you played with it. You came over, right? And you're like, oh, I got to get one of these.
Yep.
Was it last year? I bought an FTDX 3000.
Oh, nice. Yep.
And I did not like it. I really didn't like it. No.
It has some interesting filtering add-ons that you have to get to make it worth its while.
Yeah, I was like, okay, it's a big chunk in radio. Mm-hmm. Nice. You know, it's just like the 756 I have sitting here. But I didn't like it, you know, and I turned around to the next AmFest and sold it off.
Yep.
I was hoping that there was going to be that couple there that does the hats and stuff. Because I wanted to get this hat.
Yeah.
And when they were in Marlboro, I brought this hat and I said, hey, can you put, oh no, we're not doing personal this year. I'm like, seriously?
What?
I'm like, why? Well, I just want my call letters on the back. And they're like, nope, we're not doing anything personal. It's like, we're just doing our stuff. And I was like, I'll pay for it.
Exactly. Right? I'm not asking for free.
I think I'm just going to have to go down to the mall at, what is it, Lids or something where they can, I think Lids.
They'll do it. That's what I did with, I ended up, I couldn't get a hat that I wanted. So I got my call sign and I got Ham Harder and, a hashtag on the back of the hat. So I got to figure out where I put that hat. But anyway. Yeah. So outside of that, I really enjoyed hanging out in Matt's booth. I mean, I know he teased us and ragged us about being booth babes and employees, which, hey, dude, I was perfectly fine with it. It was fun. You know, Matt and I in between were hanging out, having conversations and just talking shop and, you know, all the other stuff. And then it was kind of ironic because literally when I think Mike N2MAK realized that we were doing our live stream at like 6:30, he texts me in a fever. He's like, dude, can I release a video before they do? And I'm like, yeah, well, I don't care when you do it. It's like, it's not going to stop me from like, you know, I'm not going to yell at you for you deciding to put a premiere before it. And so he sent me the copy of the premiere and it was, you know, his 56-1, you know, pseudo antenna test that he was doing in his backyard. And I was like, now I know why he wanted to release it, because we're hanging out with Matt. And so he wanted to give him kudos for it. So
we're always promoting those antennas. Those Reliance antennas are they are
the bomb.
Yeah, you can't buy a better POTA antenna. I mean, seriously, portable antennas, that's where you got to go.
So here's the thing. Like, what else is on the market today that's like in that same genre? You've got, you know, the Pactenna, which most of the time is unobtainable unless you're on a list. And that's anywhere double or even sometimes a little bit higher than the price. Actually, it's a lot more higher than the price than what Matt sells, even like his NFED at the 40-10 or his 80-10. And I'm like, I could buy two of Matt's for one Pactenna. And I'm like, not to say George's antenna is a bad antenna. It's a great antenna. But if you can't get it, like, then for me, it's just no antenna because you're not able to use an antenna. So Matt's always been, you know, one of those guys that is like, hey, I'll make any antenna for you. But at the same time, like, I always have stock, which is like, you know, everybody's always surprised. So that's definitely you know, one of his good things. And he's everywhere now.
Yeah, I bought the base camp, the NFED half-wave base camp, and he sat there, no lie. As we're talking, he's sitting there assembling. I said, I want that wire with that spool, and he's do. I said, I don't want the Chinesium wire. I want the good wire.
Yeah.
And he just literally, he had it together in like 30 seconds.
Yep.
And I was like, see, now this is quality. The guy who owns the company will sit here and build you your antenna, and all you have to do is walk out the door, plug it in, and go.
He's the other type of guy. It's like you go over to his like little like parts, the S-Beaner boxes, and say, I've got like 10 of these. Here's $20. No, dude. I want $5 for them. I'm like, dude, how are you supposed to make money? I know you bought these in like mass quantity. You know, Paul did it. I did it. I was like, I don't need these extra beaners, but I still want them. So, you know, here's $20. And you know, so he's like, okay, fine. So, you know, I had to like, you know, force him to take money a lot of times, but you know, that's his product. It's just good. Period.
And he's also a good person too.
Yeah.
There's the other thing. And funny as hell, given Ribbon Todd.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I went back and listened to the live stream and I missed the part where Paul was like, where he had the Live Free and Ham whiskey glass and Paul's like, oh, it's empty. And he's like, yeah, I know. Watson was drinking out of it. And like, I totally missed that altogether.
Oh, really?
He's like, Watson, why are you drinking whiskey? He's like, well, Dad, I don't have to drive. So why not? I was just like, I totally blew over that part.
I told, like, I felt bad. He was sleeping in his car for like the 2 days. I said, dude, I live like 20 minutes from here. You want to come over to my house and crash?
Oh, he was sleeping in his car?
Yeah.
I thought he was like in an RV or something.
No, and I told him, I said, dude, come to my house. I got an extra bed and room. He didn't even have to.
He could. Paul was like, you know, dude, why aren't you sleeping in my camper? I mean, you obviously have to sleep next to Watson, but, you know, it's plenty of space.
Well, if I would have known, I had access to a cot. Yeah. I could have just thrown it out and he could have snoozed his, you know, man, if I would have known that, I would have dragged him by his ear so Friday night and say, come on.
Well, now, you know, next year he's in trouble. Well, actually in the fall, he's in the trouble, but yeah, I'm sure he'll be back up again too as well. So
how come Chris didn't come by? I thought he was coming by.
He had Chris is a funny guy because like when he goes to Nearfest all the time, I find that he catches back up with a lot of his contesting buddies that are there and they go like, oh, let's go out to dinner or let's do this and whatever. And so like he just kind of gets looped back into that. And I'm just like, yeah, dude, I get it. You know, you're a contesting guy. I can't take contesting. Yeah,
I'm just glad I got to talk to him. He was talking to some guy and I totally like said hi to him and then interrupted. I apologize. I'm like, dude, sorry to take over your conversation, but I'm on the move. And that's when he told me about his new toy.
Oh, yeah. Talking about his radio, the Motorola.
Well, that and also the new van that he.
Yeah. Yeah, that one he's still working on. He's calling the twins.
Twins.
You know, we'll see how that one goes.
I asked him, I said, dude, I go, you know, you should leave one of those in New Hampshire.
Said, he will. Just wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Soon enough, man. It'll become our club van.
I think that's what Nearfest, like, one of the things I like about it is, you get to see, like, I agree with, like, last year, or what is it, the fall? Was it the last one we were at, the fall one?
Yeah.
That was, you know, like, all the guys from the club were there, so we were running in and out of, into people and stuff, and it's just good to, you know, the more you go, you just meet more people, and you get to see them again and shoot the shit and talk about what's going on, so it's all good.
Yeah. You find, like, you spent more between both of you since we're kind of getting into it, so, like, we're going to just kind of cover a little bit of what we thought of Nearfest, and we've already been tabbling in it a little bit here and there in this conversation, but I kind of want to dive a little bit more and then kind of expand that a little bit more because, you know, we've got HamX and a bunch of other, like, usual, you know, this is the season for HamFest, and, you know, a lot of us tend to do a lot of traveling to and from those, at least in the New England area, and so, you know, anything with Nearfest that you guys really love that, you know, whether, you know, outside of the location that we're at that, you know, keeps always drawing you back, because Nearfest is always the same. They don't, change. Their MO is always the same, that, you know, they have, you know, the structure of all of the sellers, and then they have the typical raffles. They do everything a typical HamFest is.
It's a glorified flea market. It's a ham radio flea market.
It is.
It's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, you're moaning. What's going on?
Oh, no, it's just, you know, because, like, with most HamFest, you know, you have things going on other than just the people selling the boneyards, et cetera, the commercial vendors. But a lot of HamFests have other things, like multi-VE testing. What else? Program things. Yep. Yeah, well, programs, learn this.
Oh, like all the forums. Yeah.
Yeah. All the forums and stuff.
Exactly. Have you been to any of those forums? Speaking of that, Nearfest does have them, right? I remember they did
when they were in Deerfield, but this year there was this past fall and this spring. Not really. I didn't see anything in that was at least remotely interesting. You know, I like the M17 guys. They have.
Yeah. They weren't there.
They always have stuff, and this year they weren't here.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Yeah, and they're local. I mean, it's not like they have to travel.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. They're local, so you know, it is what it is. It's pretty much what Todd said. It is a
flea market,
boneyard flea market. You know, with a little bit of interesting things going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, did you guys get a chance to head over to the Go Box Challenge or the Go Box judging? I didn't.
No, I didn't either.
I saw it and I was like, that should be interesting. And then that's the one thing I think this HamFest needs to improve on. And if they're listening, get better ways to announce, like, you know, when things are going on.
Thank you.
Because I would love, like, I hear the muffle go, wah, 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 and that's like all I hear. And I'm like, what was that? Whatever. I'm just gonna go back to what I was doing.
Why didn't they? I mean, I don't. I didn't. They had a. So I went online to see what the deal was, you know, with Nearfest the day of, to see, okay, like, what's going on? What am I missing? I was listening to the Epson repeater all the way up in Campton, because I had to go up north so I could hear like Ralph and all the guys talking and updating about what's going on. So I kind of was kind of getting a flair for it. But they had on the website, like, you won a prize and there's like a time limit to claim it. Did you guys know about that?
No.
So like, it had like one guy's name and he had like 14 minutes to claim it. And then another guy, your time is out. Like, it was like, you didn't get your prize.
Wow. And that was for the door prize stuff. Yes.
Yeah. So it was like, you had to claim it, and it was on the website, but I'm like, who's checking
websites? Exactly. They didn't,
like,
tell
who's
you that.
Checking websites. And I mean, I don't know. Maybe
that's a good point. I mean, like, there's not a lot of coordination, like, but again, it's a ham fest. So we're communicators, but we're poor communicators everywhere.
maybe, I mean, they were using that repeater, right? The, whatever the repeater that they're using for the communications, like, why wasn't there just someone like running a ham fest net? And kind of talking through and then say, oh, and this is W1STJ Net Control, and we've got our first door prize winner. You know, please go to blah, blah, blah. And is there any more check-ins or anyone want to check in? And, you know, like, just keep it going. And
good point.
That would be something that would be
5.5 or something. You could put it on 146.5.5. I know they were using the radio to the speakers setup that they always do. And you can never hear it, because literally it's like, you know, and it's like,
exactly.
And I heard Ernie and was KC1BOO. He's down from my area. Really, really good dude. Contracts with the Air Force, but he's a ham radio operator. I heard his call sign barely, and I'm like, dude, they just called your call sign. You might want to go check that. And
I know you might have won a radio.
Yeah, you might have gotten something, but. Put it out on 5.5. Everybody was testing and checking on 5.2, but say, hey, look, for the door prizes when they're called, we're going to put it out on 5.5, or give us the stupid frequency though, so we can listen to the wireless system that they had going on.
Not just, you know, like, if you're already posting it on your website, why don't you create a small little mobile applet, like, that you tell everybody when they come in to put that on their phone, and then it just, you know, they push out automatic, you know, I mean, it wouldn't make a big deal. Everyone's carrying their freaking cell phone around, and I know like 12 people all were like, oh, I'm gonna pay, you know, when they had, you know, debit or ATM or credit card payments. And so it was like, it's already there, so get them to add their cell phone number, and then you just text them when shit comes in, and they'll probably be way better. I mean, but yeah, they could have done better.
You know, I think if we're going to do Nearfest again, I think we should get down where the tables are, like, get in the middle of it and set up, get some, like, a banner, Live Free and Ham, and just run it live the whole time. Just be like, we're live. Here we are. You want to get on and just giving away
shit?
Trust
me, dude. Paul, that was the first thing Paul and I said yesterday was, I was just like, dude, when you left, we were just chit-chatting a little bit. And I was like, dude, next year you got to drop the camper down in the pit, and we're just gonna spay for
it down there. He thought he was gonna get. He's like, they're like, you have to park up there, and he's like, look at all the people that are parked down there. You know,
right. I set up.
Yeah, it is like RV parking. I'm like, I was waiting for them to hit me with the RV because I have a tent in a trailer.
Right. Yeah. Dude, there were full size RVs in, like, up and around right by the fire trucks and Kip's and Chris's van. So, like, to draw, like, so that Todd, you're speaking the same thing that Paul and I just discussed. It was like, dude, we're going to just drop his camper there. We're going to do a 9 to 10 stream. We'll do a 12 to 1 stream, live stream. And then we'll do a a later night stream. And we'll just invite people to come by. We'll do men on the street, like, you know, extra questions, even after you're an extra, hopefully by the time next spring rolls around or even fall, you're still not studying for your extra. Dude, come on. I hope so. Cause you got all summer.
By June?
Yeah. Of 2026. So, you know, yeah, we want to start doing more, like, you know, being like, because it would be awesome just to have like a booth of just the, like, giveaway stuff, and, you know, being able to just kind of like do some fun stuff, you know, both YouTube related and not.
Plus, it would be good marketing too, because the people that don't know about us would get to know about us, because they say the podcast, the Northeast Ham Radio podcast, you know, you might get more subscribers. You know, we could do a thing like subscribe now and have the, you know, have one of those codes, you know, those that you can scan with your phone and then it goes and then just pop it up. I mean, so yeah, there's, I just think that would be fun. I mean, we tried to do that at Marlboro the first year. Remember, we had the little booth and it was like,
that was a challenge. that was our first foray, you know, into the whole live streaming stuff. And then nevertheless, Marlboro had like the worst internet. It was like dial up. And trying to like do a live stream on dial up is like just suicide mission.
But you know, it's not gonna happen. The other thing, you know, you could do too is you could like be sitting there and then like someone walks up, like either someone we know or a listener, and then they could just join in, you know, hey, have a seat, you know, let's talk, get the mic set up and do it legit. And, you know, you might get a crowd, who knows? I mean, it could be fun and it might bring a little bit of more attention to Near Fest. Well, dude, more active.
So here's a perfect example. It's not even a ham fest. Like, how many of you guys watch Josh's camp out stream? The HRCC one, where they do the HRC camp out. He said, like, I watched it. I didn't watch it live, but I watched the replay. And he literally had like four cameras set up and he was giving away prizes from a ICOM and everything else in terms of radios and giveaway. Yeah, a lot of stuff. And nevertheless, if you went to that, like Chuck USY, is that his call sign? Chuck from Coffee and Ham Radios?
Yeah.
I think so. He showed up for the weekend and he gave away two Poseidon and the Rybakov antenna. So, you know, you know, it's all of those kind of things. And I know, like, you had talked, you were thinking about giving away radios, and I don't think we had enough time to to do that after we got rained out. So we'll have to circle back around and do that again. But yeah, dude,
I gave before I left, I had five radios down in the truck and I completely forgot about them too. And I'm like, there was two girls and their dad walking by. I said, are you guys new hams? And the littlest one said, I just passed my test yesterday. Oh, I said,
there you go.
Her dual band radio. And the sister was like, well, recently, I don't remember exactly. Here you go. Oh, hair, Dad, have one too. You know,
so. Nice. Get him
remember
on
that,
the air.
Remember that kid in the fall?
Oh yeah.
He was like this, like 12-year-old kid, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm an extra." And his dad was like, got him in the ham radio, and he passed his dad. He goes, "He's got more privileges than me."
He can talk to the old people at the bottom of the band.
Yeah. Well, how fun is that?
Yeah. Right.
So. Yeah, dude, you know, it's kind of funny because, like, I look at HamFests and I look at, like we have that big one. Have you been to HamX at all, Mike?
No.
Ham Exposition.
Oh, the big one.
Yeah, it's now called HamX. They've changed their name, so they're HamX abbreviated because everybody was running around last year going HamX, and like, you should call it HamX. So anyway, yeah.
That's another sore subject, but okay.
Not that I'm probably with you, because I feel like the place that they're in sucks. Like, it should be like, they should be more like Nearfest is, in the sense of like trying to, you know, foster like hangout and camping and all of that kind of atmosphere, instead of being in a hotel. Like, the hotel just totally like takes any great coolness out of the whole aspect of it. But I mean,
but you know, in that hotel though, again, if we want to do live like we did the last time, if there's a way we could get real internet, we could do it in that lobby, right?
Oh, we could do a lot of stuff.
Right, that would be cool too. But who knows? When is that one come up? Is that in the fall?
August
or September?
Ooh, that's right. No, it's August, and the reason why it's in August is they refuse to move it because it sits right on top of the same week that the Japanese ham convention is, and one other big event. And they keep saying, oh, we're never going to change it because, you know, if we change it, we're just going to bump up against something else. And it's like, dude, have it in the fall. Well, stop like having it in the middle of August.
That's when I got my general. So maybe I'll have to get my extra there.
Well,
come on, get your extra before that.
the two or three times I've been to Marlboro, literally completely washed out on Saturday with the
rain,
giant thunderstorms that came through. I mean, I felt sorry for some of the small vendors. They were just, their stuff was gone.
Well, dude, like, you know, the building, as you come into that parking lot, that convention center building, that remains vacant. Like, it pisses me off. I drove by it when I was there last year and I drove in and looked in. It's empty. It's a big giant warehouse from front to back. Literally, you can move the whole entire event in that building and, you know, basically put in porta potties because it probably doesn't have any, you know, plumbing or whatever. It, maybe it does. I don't know. But isn't that the case.
ARRL convention too? Why wouldn't they put that in there? Oh, no, it is. I think it is. So why don't they move it in there?
Because the club that has been supporting this has been doing it this way for, and it's that old adage of like, oh, we've done it this way, so we're not changing. Now, I participated a little bit helping out, and I felt like there's a lot of pushback sometimes with, you know, coming up with newer creative ideas, but that's just my own opinion, but yeah, we'll leave it at that.
I mean, it's, you know, I want to go to like Huntsville or where's the other one? Dayton. Like, I want to see a real, like, where all the vendors are there, all the new shit's there. Like, that's what I want to see. Like, I want to go to like the big one because, like, even if you're not interested in ham radio, like, to me, that would be like, I've gone to, you know, down at the Seaport, what do they call that down in Boston? And I went to a boat show down there, and I was like, almost ready to buy a boat just because it was so awesome. They had all the coolest shit there, right? And, you know,
I don't even have a boating license.
But you know what I mean? Like, that's what I really want to see, because those are the ones that I think, and it's too bad we can't get something like that in this part of the country. You know, there's a lot of, people do ham radio in the Northeast, and it would be nice to have like a big, where you got all the vendors coming, the Yaesus, the, you know, all their new stuff, like have it be one of the big ones. Cause for us, I mean, it's an airplane ride or a long ass drive to get to one of those. You know, it's not like you can do it in a weekend.
Right. Well,
But like how many of the, like just in our YouTube community, like how many of the YouTubers come up this way? None of them have it on their radar. None of them any of them are like, oh, we're only going to come up here and do a POTA. And I get it. Like, in essence, like, why would you come to Hamex? It's a small like venue, even though it's an ARL section event. It's nothing in comparison to even Huntsville, which I mean, is two separate things. It's an actual ham fest and a separate park, you know, where they're camping out and everything.
You know, and I went last year when Marlboro, I did some of the classes or the speaking
forums.
So I was like, all right, I want to see. So I did the POTA one, and I was like, shit, I could have done this. I probably could have done it better. I got more experience than this guy.
I was very disappointed with the POTA.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like, I don't know what I was thinking, but I mean, if someone was brand new, it probably would have been like good to go to and stuff. But I don't know. I think that people around here would be more. It'd be better if you had like a place where you could buy new and used stuff, you know, have like, you know, just demos and, you know, like almost like, I always think like, how come none of these places ever have like radio set up for use, like to go work DX or something? Like I would think like a booth like that one. Like where?
Nearfest doesn't, but like Hamex has a get on the air station.
But did they have it last year?
You know where it was? It was tucked in a conference room off the beaten path. So you wouldn't be able to find it unless you knew where it was.
Yeah, like why didn't they have it in that main room? What was that guy, that company there that you can rent airtime? They were there. It's like you can rent like per minute, you can go and use their radios that are all around the country. Like,
yeah, that was right next to Halbert's booth. The guy who owns all of the Flex radios does the N2. He puts up all the antenna towers. What's the big remote radio program? I can't remember.
But that was pretty cool. Like, you know, you could demo that and say, oh, you want to like log on to, you know,
it's called remote ham radio.
Yeah.
Right. Go figure.
You do it anywhere.
RHR. Yep.
Gentlemen, I've got a scoot. I've got to go over to another live stream. Believe it or not, I was invited. So
All right, man. You are Mr. Popularity today.
Yeah, I know. I haven't figured it out yet.
But listen, Mike, thanks for coming on. Well, yeah. You know, thanks, it was great hanging out with you this weekend, and glad to finally meet you in person, and hope you come back on again soon.
Definitely. Sounds good, Mike. Definitely. As long as Eric lets me in.
Dude, open invitation all the time. Just hit me up on Discord anytime. I'll let you know where we're doing it. Later, buddy. Later, good luck.
See you, Mike.
Yeah, bye.
And then there were two.
I know, right? This is your prophecy. All of a sudden, if I hop off now, it's just going to be you
it's
left.
It's going to be me, and I'll be like, I don't know what I'm doing.
The end of the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Hamfest, man, have a tough... It's a tough sell because I'm sure they don't want to change anything to make things newer or more inviting because that's just the way they do it.
So hear me out on this. So, like, ham radio is, you know, it's a group of people, not too many people do it. And then you got, like, the overland guys, right? Like, I think that stuff's cool, but it's not really big here. Like, it's big out west in the desert and all that kind of stuff. But, like, I'm telling you, if you had a combination of ham radio, overland, and a big thing at a
dude. Mike's venue. An overlander. He loves overland.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, he's like the one. Like, there's not too
many. There are a couple.
Yeah, but it's not like it is out west. But wouldn't it be cool to get the vendors from ham radio and overland and, like, take over, you know, the Boston side and have a huge thing?
Well, I mean, what you got to do is exactly what, like, the folks like Digital Rancher and HR2O and all those guys that go to More Expo. They literally go there and they've worked with the program coordinator for More Expo, which is all a big overlanding thing. And they have a little what they call the ham radio pavilion. And so, like, they just do ham radio specific and people come up to them. So they're starting to do more of that. Do we even know, like, if there's, like, anything like More Expo up here? There's got to be, I'm sure.
Well, weren't we going to go? What was that thing that we were going to go to? It was like that electronic. It was like last year we were going to rent a space, or we were asked to do a space. And then I forget what it was. It was like last year or the year before. It was out in, like, Western Mass.
Oh,
it was a big thing, and that the club was going to go, and we got, like, a free booth. What the heck was that? I couldn't go. I think I had baseball or something, but did you go?
Me then. No, I didn't. Probably wouldn't want to ring a bell.
There was something. It was like it was a big every year it's a big electronics kind of thing, and they asked us to come, and they gave us a table or a booth, but we had to man it 24/7 or something.
You're talking about
maybe we decided not to do it because it was like we couldn't get enough people to man the
Why am I thinking of it? It's the stupid fair that occurs all the time. Fair in or Mass. The Big E,
right?
Yep.
We never did that, right? Because we didn't have enough people they wanted us to be, like, man it, like, 24/7 for, like, 4 days or something. We're like, what?
And actually, from what I understand, the club that was doing it basically is backed out just because they couldn't get enough people, and ARL didn't really help continue to support it going on. So, and I'm sure it's probably super expensive to you know, get in that event because it's like 19 buildings and 100 acres. It's crazy.
Yeah. So I think that's how you, I think if you team up with something that is uses ham radio, like the overland stuff that could use ham radio, that ham radio operators might be interested in that. Like, that's kind of, you know, people building mobile shacks and that kind of stuff in the overland, the whole nine yards. I mean, the biggest thing I got the best thing I think besides, you know, doing the thing is I saw that guy's Jeep that I parked next to with those Molly things on the windows with the antenna on it. I'm like, dude, that's awesome. I took pictures of it. I'm like, I'm getting myself one of those.
How it starts. I was watching some YouTube videos on overlanding and stuff and looking for the Molly panels for the back of the bed of the truck. And that's exactly how it starts. You look at, like, small little things, and you're like, oh, I got to get ball mounts for my dash for cameras. And the list goes on and on and on. So it's only a matter of time, my friend. We'll be overlanding on top of that.
I put it this way, for Nearfest, like, if I missed Nearfest, like, I wouldn't be like, oh, I missed Nearfest. Like, it's like a bummer, but I like going. I think if we do it, like, in the fall or next spring, and we get down there and the main thing, and we get a table and the camper, and we just stay there and have people coming, and, you know, all day long, all weekend long, I think it could be fun as long as we keep the live stream going. You know, maybe do like you said, an hour or two, and take a break, and another hour or two, and just kind of get people on and get people on the air and see what it's like. And
like you could drag, like we could basically work towards like getting some of the vendors like to come do interviews and then like say, hey, we'll put somebody at your booth to man it in terms of, you know, keeping the sales going. But at the same time, you know, you can come promote or whatever. And like, cause like I would have loved to, you know, give Matt, I didn't think about recording Matt's, you know, updates, but you know, not that he really needs a lot of the updates. He does an awesome job and we all use his antennas and, you know, profess him often. So it's not like, you know,
you know, I wonder, could you do a live stream where you went, like I could be say
like a man on the street.
Yeah. And like, I'd be on one screen, like at the table or wherever at our area. And then you go into the barn, say,
maybe
an interview.
Technical challenges, I'm sure, but yeah, we could probably figure it out.
But if that's something like that would be cool because then we could be doing it live. We could get a big, you know, we could actually get like a screen, a computer screen or something and have the YouTube channel going like on iPads or whatever. So people can see, you know, I think it would just be kind of, yeah. I think it would be cool. And I think people would enjoy it. I think we'd get a crowd of people at least watching it.
It's inspired me to want to like, you know, see how we can turn up the gas on the 24-hour POTA. Like, I really want to aim for like the fall to do that. I know our bigger picture is to like maybe do it at Arcadia, like do an Arcadia thing separate. But I think we need to do that 24-hour POTA on the like sometime in the fall and work towards like, you know, getting that locked in and getting that people to go do a camp out.
Yeah, we're going to need people to. Sign up for that because 24 hours is a long time to be activating the same park. Well, nonstop.
And I'm thinking, you know, at the same time, if we play our cards right, we could probably get a lot of vendors to like do giveaways along that, you know, that 24 hour period. So we'd be like, hey, we're going to be live streaming for 24 hours. Do you want to like give away some stuff of your products? And, you know, maybe ICOM will do a goodie bag. You know, you never know. I mean, we're not a huge channel, but we could always say, hey, you're going to see us for 24 hours. We're going to get our worth.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, we got to work on that. So those are some of the things. And yeah, just well, not enough freaking time.
I know. Maybe, you know, I'll find out when the float fly is, and maybe I could talk to the guy and see if we could do it the week after that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because they take over the thing, the float fly. But the next week, like, I think the park is, I think it's pretty much closed.
I would assume.
Like, it's closed for the float fly, but they open it back up because people like to camp and watch the planes fly off the water and stuff. So I'm thinking maybe the week after.
They extend it one more time.
I don't think they would let us camp there. I don't think it'd be open for like all kind of campers because they're kind of winding down. But if we had the same spot, you know, you'd be in that parking lot. We can put a.
When's the float fly?
It's like
September.
Yeah, it's like the week after, 1 or 2 weeks after Labor Day.
Okay.
So.
Well, we definitely could do it like Labor Day, but we could probably do it like the weekend after. If they do like 2 weeks after, we could probably do the week before float fly. But we should. So yeah. Here's our invite to our, you know, membership and listener base. You know, would you guys want to come do a weekend and be part of hanging out for, you know, for a Friday, Saturday or Saturday, Sunday, depending on what it works out for 24 hours. We set up at Greenfield State Park. We do live stream 24 hours.
We'll set up one station with we could use your
hex beam, whatever.
Yeah, hex beam. And one station, one tent, whatever, set up for the radio and just run it 24/7.
Yep. We would need the people. We'd have food. You know, we could coordinate getting people there. So if you wanted to be an exclusive and, you know, drop your camper there for the weekend to hang out, you know, we can make it a special event, sort of like how HRCC does their weekend camping. We'll do a 24-hour POTA, you know, camping event for Live Free Ham. So if you're interested in something like that, we'll post up on Discord, you know, give us a listen, give us an update. If you'd be interested, let us know. And we'll keep a tag on that, a tally on that. And we'll see, you know, we can get this going.
Who knows? It could become a yearly event.
Oh boy. Let's get it off the ground first.
24 hour POTA, Greenfield State Park, New Hampshire. We'd have to rotate parks.
Yeah, I know. It's year five now, and we've been doing 24 hour POTAs for 5 years straight.
In the next 50 years, we'll be going for each, we'll do a different state each year. I'll be 103. I gotta stay alive for the last POTA.
I don't know. Paul is trying to get all of his, you know, bucket list in before that. So I don't know. It just might be you and I anyway at the 103.
Yeah. I don't know. I won't be there around that long, but you know, that would be kind of cool. And it would support the hobby and it would be kind of fun. And who knows? I mean, we probably have a lot of cool contacts and, you know, word might get out that we're doing a, you know, especially if we were announcing it on the radio and telling people, hey, spread the word. We're doing a 24-hour POTA park. Yeah, I think it'd be awesome. How does that work? How does it work? If I'm doing, let's say we had our Live Free and Ham call, and that's mm-hmm. what we were using for our 24-hour POTA. But can you, as your personal POTA stuff, can you log those as like W1SCJ?
But the contacts you make, you would put your call sign in the operator field. So when we're logging it, you would, anytime we have a new operator set in, they would just change the operator call operator field to their call sign, and then they would get credit for all of those contacts that they made.
Both but what about, their but does that doesn't count as a twofer, right?
Well,
like two, it doesn't count as two operators.
No, because you're operating as an activator under the club call.
Okay.
So the club call is the primary, but you get all of the contact points for the contacts made under your call,
right?
Under W1LFH, or yeah, when we get it. Actually,
whenever we get.
But no, we are actually. Funny story is, I'm just waiting for the FCC. Apparently, there's a timer, an 18-day timer that I have to sit and wait for. So we're literally 6 more days left before I finally get it. So we will have an official announcement. Yeah.
What is wrong?
I don't. It's the FCC. In essence, because I think. And so here's the catch. If you go look up on QRZ, if you look W1LFH, you'll see that my name and Live Free and Ham is under that, but it shows as terminated, and it shows as terminated back in October. So I technically still own the call, but it's terminated. I have to let the paperwork go through, and they have to wait it's an 18-day period, a window. So like if anybody else decides to come back to claim the call again or whatever, like instead of them looking at it and going, oh, hey, the person who's requesting it is also the person who owns the call. I should just give it to them. And, you know, so I have to wait the 18 days. So that's what we're waiting for.
All right.
Yeah,
but we'll get it, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, dude, own it. So it's like until they realize they, you know, made their errors.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, that'll be cool.
Yeah. So I guess outside of this, I mean, I for Hamfest, Nearfest is a good, you know, overall, you know, fest to get together and meet people that we haven't seen in a while. I wish it would, you know, improve and grow like we've talked about a little bit, but it's New England. We're stubborn. we don't do anything fast.
Well, it's kind of like our club too. You know, we have to, you know, there's things that we could, like, I really want to buy a trailer for the club and build a portable station, at least use it for field day. And then maybe use it for the POTA activation or whatever, the support your parks, or when the club goes out and does the POTA thing. I mean, and it would be fun to build it. And the guys that don't know, like, I don't know how to build a shack from a mobile, but there's guys in our club that do. And it would just be fun to build it and have your input and then just have a club trailer. Yeah. Crap, you could bring it to Nearfest.
Totally. You
know? So,
yeah, that is on my bucket list to make sure we get done for 2025, or at least get to that part rolling forward. We've got some other stuff we're working on, but I would love to see that happen for sure. Yeah, it would be fun. But yeah, I mean, and in terms of Hamfest, because we don't want to get our hands involved there, but Live Free and Ham, I think we're going to have to move forward on some of the stuff we talked about, just getting actual site there and making more of ourselves present. And, you know, getting more involved in the, you know, the general public down at the ground level. So I think we'll probably try to see if we can target that for the fall.
I'm done coaching after this year. So baseball will just be going to my kids' games, and it won't. And even if I had to miss a game to do, like, it wouldn't be a big deal.
Okay.
You know, he plays so much baseball. It's like if we were going to do
one game.
Yeah. I mean, if we were going to do, Nearfest from whatever Friday when it opens till Saturday when it ends, you know, I could be there.
Yep.
And I think it would be a good, but we'd have to prepare, and we'd have to figure out make sure everything worked right and have like a schedule, like this is what we're planning on doing. I mean, obviously things will change, but
we're gonna have to do a bunch of giveaways too. We just can't sit there and not give anything out.
Yeah. and here's a hammy. Oh, here's a, a sticker pad. Yeah.
It's funny
story. I'll go away. I'll start going away and buying crap at Nearfend. Like, ah, today we're giving away a lead weight. We don't know if it works, but
here's a first gen iPad. Yeah, it's a relic. Funny story with the little pigs. I left one on Reliance's booth out in the open, like by the rest of his antennas. And I can't tell you how many people picked it up and looked at it, kind of puzzled, and then put it back down. I'm like, dude, flip the damn thing over and read the bottom. That's all you have to do. But, you know, we'll have to spread more of that love a little bit. I know Paul did a couple of, handouts. I did a few here and there scattered about. So hopefully people will catch on and go visit the website and, you know, want to be like, hey, this is a cool idea. We'll see.
I think it would take on a lot better if it was trackable.
Yeah, but well, that's going to get expensive, but yeah.
No, I know. But like, you know how like the geocachers do it, like with their little things. I mean, I think people would be more.
How far will a hammy go?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. All right. Well, let's put a bow on this one because I'm sure you're pretty much all spent from the weekend and, dreading getting into Mondays. But we definitely thank Mike for hopping on. He had to jump off because apparently he's on Jason's channel talking about Overland. And so, you know, obviously once this airs, well, actually, you know, either way, you'll have to go back to the replay and check him out on that. But he's being a man of the town and hanging out with a couple of different YouTubers. So good for him. And, Paul, who is not here present with us, he's currently packing. I just saw a quick post from Mike on Discord giving them the parks and stuff like that that they'll be activating. So if you're a Patreon member, you might get lucky. This might be your future intel. He'll be activating Monday when he's in New York with Mike. So if you want to score a couple of contacts with him and Mike, they'll be over at, what is it? Park US 5253. That's Pittstown State Forest. So, they're going to be, activating together, plenty of trees. So, Paul can throw up his Reliance antenna and Mike can maybe activate his, 56-1 Reliance antenna there, and they can, hold hands and skip off into the distance, singing Reliance as their favorite song. So either way, we'll definitely keep an eye out for them to hopefully make contacts and get them in the log there for me. And he'll if you want to track Paul, he's on APRS. I was going to look up real quick if APRS.fi and see what his call number is. N1OG star. Let's see what he is. He is running. What number are you, Paul? Looks like a -9. If you do N1OG star, you could probably find him a couple different ones, but it looks like he's on 14652 N1OG-9. So if you want to follow him along, we'll be doing a little bit of that on our own website and Discord. So looking forward to his travels.
How far would the radio pick him up for?
Well, it depends on whether there's a digipeater around in the area that can hear him.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. I mean, I'm sure he'll have no problem going through like most of Massachusetts and, in and through the main corridors. But once he starts getting up to Vermont, it's going to be tough to pick up. I know I was hard to pick up in those areas when I was up in, kind of Troy in that area.
Yeah.
But cool. We'll see. Either way, we're looking forward to seeing his progress. You can always check him out on his channel because, again, this is his month. He's away skydiving, getting his Class A license. So we're looking forward to getting some updates from him on that. And so pay attention to his channel, pay attention to Live Free and Ham for all of those great things. And so to wrap things up, again, thanks, Mike, for hanging out with us tonight on such short notice there. And as always, thanks again for joining Live Free and Ham. We truly appreciate hanging out with all you guys and for all the folks that we saw at Nearfest and who recognized us. And we say thank you and appreciate everybody who's part of our community. We can't thank you guys enough. And so you can always head over to our Discord server if you want to connect with us, join in the conversation. This show will be posted soon. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel to make sure you catch up on all of the excellent content over there. And as always, you can leave us a comment using our SMS link. Those are located in our show notes as well as our email address. Or if you prefer, you can leave us a quick voicemail at 978-233-1142. And like we always say, if you want to help support the show, you can always buy us a beer link. And we thank Shannon and the Hillbilly Ham Radio Club for throwing us a few buy us a beers from the live stream. Those are much appreciated. Thanks again for those. But you can always join our Patreon, and our Patreon members get a boatload of stuff, including access to all of our uncut shows, including this one, and many other links to all of our merch and other cool meetups that are coming up soon. So outside of that, you can always head over to liftfreeandham.com to learn about our show, check out our swag, and find out all of everything you want to learn about Live Free and Ham. And with that, thanks again for listening. And from all of us at Live Free and Ham, 7-3.